Welcome, sports fans. This week's edition of the William Hill Sports Show. I'm your host, Kenny B, here with Josh Nagel from Sportsline. Josh, what's going on?
Ken, Friday night, already got some basketball going, so it's good. Indiana plus 6 points against Maryland, and they're up 8 at the break, so looking good so far.
Wagering?
Yeah.
What's in?
4 p.m. Tip.
There you go. Good deal. And John, I was just turning Josh's mic up just a little bit. I was having trouble hearing. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just my headset, but I was having trouble hearing him. So, John the Hawk Stevens across from me. What's going on, Hawk?
Hello. What's happening?
Recap a little bit. You know, you come over to my house. We watch a national title game. You know what I found interesting about this title game?
Enjoyed the hell out of it.
Is that when the number moved down, I want to get you guys' opinion on this. When the number moved down so low, and, you know, me handicapping the game, looking at it, I really thought one of the teams was going to get 40, which I ended up being correct, and I thought the game would fly over easy. The game early on looked like it was going to be a cigar game. Then it only goes, you know, the number I had, 57.
Yeah, went over barely.
By 3 points. I know. And it basically lands right in the kill zone for what the opening line was. You know, Nick Bogdanovich, being the lead trader for the William Hill Racing Sportsbook Operations, he you know, opened up right around there at 60.5, and what did it land, 60?
Yeah, Ken, you're right. I like the over as well. I thought that was the key thing. It looked like, you said cigar game. I know what you mean. I thought we'd be cashing it by halftime. I mean, seriously, it looked like it was going to be, you know, 30 each plus, and it was on that pace. And you figure, okay, second half, there could be some defensive adjustments. Maybe it'll settle down a little bit. But second half was 14-0 Clemson. It was only – I mean, it's just funny because Alabama got stopped inside the 10 like 3 times. I mean, it could have been much higher scoring if they could convert a 1 touchdown. But still, that got there. And like I said, it was a tight line. I will say my biggest action was on the over, so that still hit, and I was pleased. But I had a pretty big teaser with some bowl games or whatever. I had tied to Alabama on a teaser, so pick them. So I thought that would be a good shape. You don't want to lay basically a touchdown. Take that. Obviously, I took a defeat on that one. I didn't even hedge. I thought Alabama would come through. I knew Clemson was good. I will say this, you know, Clemson winning a tight game, yeah, that could happen. I didn't see this coming at all.
And
yet,
no.
Clemson just blowing them away. Here's what's funny, though. They made so many big plays. The receivers and Trevor Lawrence was great. And if you ran it back tomorrow, I mean, Alabama could win. You see what I mean? It was such a
100% agree.
Yes, it was such a game of inches. That one where they did the stupid fake field goal, and how many times Alabama did get stopped?
The pick six to open the game?
Right, and they answered it with a touchdown immediately. To me, it's just one of those things. These same clubs, I think if they do play 10 times, Alabama probably wins
seven.
You know, six or seven.
I absolutely agree with that.
And yet, with Clemson winning, again, it's not a surprise. They obviously have the talent, but Clemson by a mile was not what I saw coming at all.
I mean, all those points are valid, but they out-physicaled Alabama, I thought. I thought they came in, they hit him in the mouth, especially for the defensive line of Clemson. I thought they went out and just punched him in the face, and they didn't, and Alabama never recovered. That Alabama offense hasn't dealt with a defensive line like that, and it showed through. Yeah, all that stuff happened, and if a couple of those things go a different way, it could be a different ball game, but I thought the physicality of Clemson is what impressed me the most about it. So I'd say it'd be a 50-50 split, maybe not 70-30 Alabama. I think it's kind of a toss-up. Although that Clemson team, I might give them the edge maybe 60-40.
I just don't know. You know, I don't see it that way, John. You know, I went back and looked at the stats and post-handicapped the game, and it just seemed to me like Alabama was having their will running the ball early. They rushed for 148 yards. Threw for 295. It seemed like they kept gashing him 8 yards, 9 yards, 7 yards. Then two would go back and throw, and he'd throw a pick. I think that was the key. And I think he played about as poor a game as you could play. And I think Lawrence played about as great a game as you could play. I've heard people say he should sit out 2 years so he doesn't get hurt and go straight to the NFL. But he was slinging it around the yard. Let's not forget that receiver. That receiver for Clemson.
Yeah,
too.
Justin Ross.
Oh my
goodness.
He's
looking like Randy Moss out there with one-handed behind the back catch on the sideline. Yeah, that's all night they were doing. That 3rd and 10, the Alabama blitzes, looks like, okay, get off the field, get a touchdown, get back in there. And they're making those kind of plays all over the place. And, again, some of the Alabama play calling, it's kind of funny, right, because it's Mike Locksley, the guy who just got hired to be Maryland's head coach. But it's worth criticizing. I'm usually not someone who likes to jump in and, you know, with the bandwagon of critical decisions and all that. But even when they're trying to get back in the second half, just a touchdown and a stop, and you figure they've got a chance. But that 4th and goal at the 1 where they run a sweep. Yeah, they run him to the short side of the field against the defense that was stacked for it. I mean, this is the type of stuff.
Without a bailout option.
Alabama, right, not a run-pass option. Clearly just a designed run with nothing else there. And, yeah, he got stopped for a 10-yard loss. But I guess that's what comes up when you don't see them face resistance. Alabama, of course, they came through. It was pretty scary against Georgia, and they answered the call there. But when you don't face competitive games all the way in, maybe those things are masked. Because obviously, no matter what they run against, Ole Miss was going to be a touchdown. It's like it just didn't matter. When you need to be precise and execute at your highest level, they had a game where not everything was working.
I think they got out-coached, out-schemed. Mm-hmm. They lost 44-16. I don't know how you can look at that and think that they're the better team.
You can't. I agree with you. I know exactly what you're saying, but it's just bizarre when you say that. Couldn't you say, though, as Ken said, when you dissect everything and if you watched it and dissected the stats, it's like that's the closest 28-point game you'll ever see in terms of how many inches were involved in every single
thing. I never thought it was really decided until probably the last touchdown.
Right.
But look at the total yardage, guys, 482 to 443.
Yeah, but that's – What? I mean, garbage time, and that's...
The other thing was a little surprising.
It's garbage time.
How quick Alabama threw in the towel. You don't see Saban do that with 12 minutes left.
Yeah.
And granted, he's down big. He's down four scores. It's going to take a miracle. But you've seen wilder things. I mean, to put Jalen Hurts in there and then just punt the ball, it's like, man, I was surprised where he just basically said, that's it. Surrender.
Come September, are we going to have Alabama number one and Clemson number five again forward? That seems to be what it is, and it's ridiculous. Flip it.
No, one of the other things, John, I look at right now is turnovers. Alabama had five turnovers versus zero to Clemson. Yeah. I mean, that's just I'm with Josh. I think that if it's okay to be on the other side of the coin, John. I'm not saying you shouldn't, and I'm not trying to convince you, but I really think that – I think, man – Can I safely say that I think Clemson was more motivated? But in a way, I kind of think Clemson was a little bit more motivated. Yeah. I think that they came out and they worked harder this game. I think that Alabama kind of thought they had it locked up. And, but the yardage, 40 yards different in total offense. Five, and your team turns the ball over five times. And you're playing a team that didn't turn the ball over.
Most of those are absolutely forced turnovers, though.
But 44-16. I mean, that's the big gap right there, And Alabama didn't score in the second half.
Clemson could have scored more in the second half.
They could have. They came out, they scored 13 in the third quarter, and that's what I was saying. I had 57.5 for a pretty good chunk of money, and I thought it was a cigar game. Can you imagine the people that had under 16.5? Yeah. And they just turn the TV off and go to bed, and it comes 60.
Yeah.
Crazy.
And like you said, Ken, I mean, and look at the other things too. Again, the Bears repeating about, I mean, a fake field goal against a set defense that knows you've got a shaky kicker and you're lining up for fourth and five to kick a 45-yard, and Clemson's like, how about we just go with we put our 3-4 out there, go ahead and bring it. Yeah. But they did it anyway with the kicker as the runner. it's like, just line up and have Tua throw that 5-yard slam.
Josh,
I
have a question about that exact play right there, and correct me if I'm wrong, maybe I don't understand.
I know what you're going to say.
The holder's knee was down. He is down.
He?
Yes. I mean, I don't know why nobody pointed that out. I mean, the kicker, if you remember the Alabama kicker, when he got the low punt, he had his knee on the ground. They looked at it and they turned it over.
Yeah,
when the holder caught that the fake field goal snap, his knee was on the ground. And they're trying to say he didn't get it or, all this stuff. I'm going, "Well, he's down."
Yeah.
I mean,
well, remember a few years ago I brought it up that night.
College is different.
LSU or Florida had a fake punt or a fake field goal where the holder tossed the ball over his head and his knee was down. I was like, is he down?
Yeah.
But maybe it's just different for the holder.
I don't know.
That's their set.
Yeah. I do know the difference in college. If your knee's down in college, period, you're down. In NFL, you have to be touched down to be down. So you have to be touched while you're down to be down. So I was curious about that. So interesting. I don't know.
But I just don't buy that the better team lost 44-16. I can't buy that.
I can see your point.
And this, I said it throughout the year, that I thought this was the best Alabama team I've seen in this run.
I think most people would think that.
And the defense just wasn't there. I overrated the hell out of the defense and I guess the offense. But I think that was Clemson forcing that. And Will Venable's scheme looked to confound Tua. And it was just – That was an ass whipping, is what it was.
No, I agree.
Really
no, I'm not saying it. I agree on that night. On that night, I absolutely agree with
you. Sure,
that.
On that night, but
I absolutely agree.
But
with
I mean, it's we always make these caveats for Alabama that it's.
Oh, I'm not a Bama backer.
I know you're not.
I'm not.
I know you're not at all. And it's maybe we just give Clemson. Clemson's the best team in America.
How can we argue that? The first team ever to go undefeated throughout the college playoff. Since we went to the college playoffs. I mean, and hats off to Clemson. Hats off to a 19-year-old freshman that went out and beat a bunch of grown men at Alabama. How about that?
Yeah. And Ken, you're right. You said Tua's, it's kind of funny because you mentioned both quarterbacks were actually shaky early on. But the thing is, Tua's first mistake, like he said, went for a pick six. Lawrence had a couple of his first 2 series. He was airmailing guys on bubble screens. He was throwing it into the stands. Like, man, he needs to settle down.
And once he did.
That happened on that 3rd and 10 where Alabama set the blitz, and he got single coverage. The guy was wide open. He just hit the guy.
Right across, over the top.
Right, hit the guy with just a dart 50 yards down the field. Once he hit that, it's like that was done. He was locked in after that.
I went 2-2 on my props, and I lost two props on that pick six.
I won two. A defensive touchdown being scored and the longest – touchdown hit later.
That hit later. That was one of my winners.
Right.
But I also had that the first turnover would be a fumble, not an interception. They only threw 8 picks between them. Each threw 4 throughout the year. So I took fumble to be the first turnover at plus money. I also had the first score to be a field goal because of two defensive oriented teams, and I took plus money on that. So it was 2 plus money bets. He throws a pick six.
Yeah.
He throws a pick six, and I lose 2 bets. But I was okay with it because I had so much money on Clemson and so much money on the over that I was okay. I said, you know what? I mean, I kind of handicapped it. I go, if Clemson can get 26 points, I cannot lose both bets.
Right.
Getting six and the over. So you get a free gimme right there, a pick six, and then Alabama gets the ball back.
I was just pleased that the defensive or special teams touchdown to happen at plus $2 hit.
Yeah.
The first touchdown, your first score of the game. And
I had it, so I was free rolling the rest of the night, so I was happy. And I had Clemson.
Yeah, so I had Clemson,
always
too.
Always good.
And I never laid off. I kept waiting after this possession. And then when Alabama went down and scored, it went from I had plus six now to Alabama minus 3.5. And I go, 4. I'm only really catching 4 and 5. So I said, I'll wait. And then I just got to the point where the wheels fell off, and it looked like that I was going to at least get to the 26 number plus the 5, so I couldn't lose both bets, so I kept gambling, and then Clemson just kept separating, and Alabama couldn't do anything. So.
Right. I'll say, too, I took Alabama at halftime, plus 7.5 for the game. I did the same thing last year against Georgia. Of course, you just think, how often are you get Alabama against anybody, plus 7.5 for the game?
Yeah.
So it seemed
How'd that work out?
It didn't. But here's what's funny, Ken, and it hurt, too, because I fired pretty good on that, thinking, they don't even have to come back and win. They're going to come back and get in the game.
Yeah.
I was confident in that. They're down 2 scores. They'll lose by 7 or less. So I piled on that one, and it didn't work out.
John and Josh, I really thought in the second half Alabama was going to come back and get back in the game. I did, too.
I didn't expect – I thought Clemson had a chance to win. I bet him to cover the game. I didn't expect – I don't think anybody expected that. You can't.
No.
But I'm glad it happened.
So
I was fired up. You saw me.
Yeah, how did you end up monetarily on that particular game?
Great.
Plus money?
Yeah. Oh, by far.
Yeah.
I lost a couple props. A couple stupid yardage ones. But I had there will be defensive score. I had it over. And I had Clemson. So,
Josh, monetarily?
And I ended up okay, but I said the two things that hurt me the most were the second half bet I put on Alabama. I lost, a teaser bet for them pick 'em. So basically anything tied to Alabama winning, of course, went down big time. But I did well in the props because not only did I hit the big one with longest touchdown and defensive score, Ken, the other one we talked about, 2 on the completions. And it's funny because he got yanked too, but barely. He was 21.5 and he got 22 completions.
Yeah, I had it over
too. So thankfully that came in too. So
yeah, so he actually went. He went 22 for 34, 295. That's crazy. And Jalen Hurts, now there's talk. He's already entered the transfer market. It looks like he might be headed to Oklahoma. I really think that's where he's going to end up. I know he's supposed to be meet with Maryland tomorrow. He can play next year. We're talking about the backup quarterback behind.
Because that's where his coach is going. His quarterback's coach, Loxley, is going to.
Oh, that makes sense.
So that's why.
I was wondering.
Yeah, and the number one. The guy that's the heir apparent to Kyler Murray, he's a 4-year junior. He's supposed to step in and take Kyler Murray's spot. He entered the transfer market today, too.
It's kind of funny, and that highly touted guy from Georgia, Justin Fields, he's trying to get a waiver to play immediately. The heir apparent at Ohio State, Tate Martell, says, okay, I'm out of here. So it's looking like every musical chairs. He's just the right of the wall. It's like if Fields gets cleared, I'm never see the light
as
of day.
As a quarterback, I understand.
So he's going to play. He's going to be Dwayne Haskins, whatever, successor, and now he's out of there.
I get you guys. We talked a little bit about Kyler Murray. We'll get into. We got about 2 minutes before we have to go to our first commercial break, and we still got lots of football and basketball to handicap. So we're going to get to that. But Kyler Murray, it really, really bothers me when all these people are so adamant by saying Kyler Murray should 100% just go play baseball. He should just listen. the guy should play whatever sport he's passionate about, yeah, because that's where he's going to practice the hardest. He's going to get the most out of. He doesn't. I wouldn't want to go to work and be bored, you know, after a while. If my
and
true passion.
Has he ever said he doesn't like baseball?
No, but my point is I don't care what he plays. He should play what he wants to play.
Yeah.
I don't think the money's – sure, he might make more in baseball, but there's something to say personally about going to work, enjoying whichever job you enjoy the most, and you're still going to get compensated.
Yeah.
No, I agree, Ken, especially it's looking like – especially with it being a weak quarterback field, right, with the guy Justin Herbert from Oregon going back to school. It's looking like the number one quarterback prospect is Dwayne Haskins. I don't know either, John. The guy is almost like guaranteed. He's a certain to be the first quarterback, maybe first overall pick. It's like, no, let me go back to the Ducks. I'm
stuck. He wants to play the Wolfpack, I think.
But there's so the other guys who are left, it's Haskins is okay, but again, he only played 1 year at Ohio State. Drew Locke in Missouri. I mean, it's a weak quarterback class. So now the whole reason everyone's figuring that Murray might change his mind, because there's a good chance if he declares for the NFL draft, he could be the first overall pick, which obviously that's a much bigger thing than getting $5 million from the A's. He could get whatever, the guarantee, $25 million guaranteed for football. And the fact that the Cardinals just hired Kingsbury, and Kingsbury said he would take Murray one overall if he could. So.
And I don't think there's been any athlete, John, that's ever been drafted in the top 10 in both football and baseball, is there?
No, there's been first, second rounders, stuff like that, but It's different from a Bo Jackson or a Deion Sanders situation when you're the quarterback.
Yeah.
When you're the franchise quarterback, you're not a running back, you're not a corner. So I don't think you can do both at that point. But
yeah, it's tough. I will say, you probably saw ESPN did a documentary, one of the 30 for 30s. And I'm glad they brought it up, because I always thought it's one of the most underappreciated accomplishments ever in sports. Deion Sanders playing in a baseball and football game on the same day. I thought that was amazing.
Tim McCarver didn't appreciate it. That's
it was hilarious with the fallout from that. But, man, it was crazy. Plays
he hated Deion, though.
A full game for the Falcons in the morning, shows up, takes a helicopter, and starts for the World Series at night. I think that's amazing.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I think that's an amazing accomplishment you never hear about.
Not a regular season game, Josh.
No,
didn't he lead off in the World Series?
Yeah. I don't believe he was in the starting lineup.
I think he was.
I don't think he was.
Was he not? John,
I don't think so.
Regardless, say the McCarver thing lacked. I mean, he shouldn't have done that. But.
You got a lot of class, Deion.
Disagree.
You got a lot.
Disagree. The best part is David Justice's face while that's going on.
DJ?
He's just watching, going, is this dude really doing this right now?
Gatorade all over the guy.
Come on.
Deion's accomplishment was awesome.
Tim McCarver's one of the few broadcasters I really cannot stand.
Yeah.
I don't get the Joe Buck, I agree with you, but
I'm glad he's
Bill
gone.
Walton?
The people filling in since he's gone are terrible, too. Who do they have? Ron Darling. Who's doing it
John
since
Smoltz?
McCarver? They're not good.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's
head off to our first commercial break. When we come back, we'll start handicapping some sports. This is the William Hill Sports Show, coming to you live from the Club Caliver just outside the William Hill Sportsbook on ESPN 94.5 FM. We're back here at the Club Caliver on ESPN 94.5 FM. Show's at 5 p.m. today. Yes, sir. Mr. Card is. Yes, sir. People are confused about why we're on at 5 p.m. today. But we're on at 5 p.m. Here we are. So with that being said, let's jump into – we talked a little bit about – before we get into the NFL, I want to talk about something that me and John have talked about briefly lately. And we've kind of been putting it on the back burner because we keep getting wrapped up in football and things, the important things that are coming up. But I want to talk real quick about college players leaving early for the NFL. This bothers me a lot.
Wait, can you want to say specifically about them sitting out bowl games, right?
Yes.
The ones who are doing
Excuse me.
I remember that you wanted
my
to
mistake.
Say something
My
about
mistake.
That.
Yeah, I spoke. I think it's the most selfish thing, most disrespectful thing that you can do. And this is the reason why. Let's take this quarterback for West Virginia, for example.
Will Greer.
Okay, let's talk. He commands that huddle. He gets into that huddle every game and tells his linemen, okay, you guys block for me. You guys do this for me. He tells the receivers, you guys go catch my passes. And then he wants to tell them when it's crunch time that, listen, yeah, I'm not going to play for you anymore. The reason that he's where he's at is because those linemen busted their butts every day. They went to the weight room every day and gave their lives for him, blocked for him. The receivers that were catching his passes, they did the same thing. And for him just to abandon them at the most important time, with these seniors that had done this for him for 2 or 3 years, to come out and pull this crap, it's the most disrespectful, selfish thing I could. What about some of these receivers that might be trying to make the NFL, and now you don't have a guy pitching to him? you know, making him look good. You get a backup. So he's losing his opportunity. What about these offensive linemen that don't that have a chance to protect the quarterback and not give up any sacks on this day, but now you got a backup quarterback that can't get the ball out in time or doesn't know the full playbook and stuff like that. So he gets beat a few times. It affects a lot more people than the selfish individual that plays an entire career at a college and the last minute decides, yeah, I'm going to go pro. Screw you guys. I hate it.
Again, well, here's the thing on that. Like, your general principle is something that I agree with, but here's, you know, play devil's advocate, sort of the counter-argument. We said, well, it's the most important time. The counter-argument would be it's not important at all. They say it's an exhibition. You don't see Will Grier. West Virginia wasn't in the college football playoff. It was the Liberty Bowl or whatever. You saw how horrible they
were. So you're telling me scouts don't watch those games?
So they're saying the game's meaningless. No, I'm just saying, but that's why. But, Ken, let's put it this way. Put it the history in perspective, and you're probably aware of this, but so for anyone who isn't, though. The real trend that really started this is just a few years back, and it was Christian McCaffrey and Leonard Fournette, but specifically McCaffrey. He seriously started this trend. But you remember, there was something behind it. He was injured, as he is now.
That's completely different.
He had a history of injuries, but this is what started the trend, John. So he had battled through various injuries, including that year. He'd been in and out. And so I believe it was the Rose Bowl, whatever. Stanford was in a pretty big bowl. McCaffrey just said, you know what, I'm not. Even though he was healthy and had played their last game, they didn't make the playoffs. He said, you know what, I'm going to sit out. This is the best thing. Leonard Fournette had a similar trajectory at LSU. He had his career as it is now in the pros, marked by injury. You know, they announced McCaffrey and said, yo, he's healthy. He's a healthy scratch for the bowl game. Unheard of. Leonard Fournette saw the same thing, had the same kind of history, and he said, yeah, you know what? That sounds good. I'm sitting out, too. That started the trend. So now you're seeing these healthy scratchers in bowl games where, guys, there's nothing wrong with them, but they said, you know what? Just call it a day and get ready for the pros. To be clear, Ken, I don't like it either, but the counter-argument would also be, well, what about the coaches who bail? Like, hey, the coach said he was going to be there for 4 years. He said he was going to, you know, be by my side the whole time, and he bailed as soon as the next job was open. Yeah. So these guys who sit out, like Will Grier, believe me, I watched it, and you saw how horrible it is. I would rather see these guys step up and play their final game. Another thing you can do, Ken, if you're assured of being the first round draft pick.
Josh, I'm going to stop you right there for 1 second. I'll let you finish your story, but I'll go off on the coaches to do it, too. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're held to any different standard.
Okay.
So with that being said.
Great. I just think some people have a different, as you know, you know, hypocritical.
You start the season, you finish the season.
Right.
You go to the weight room with those guys. You go to those practices when it's 30 degrees. You bleed for those guys. This is the guy giving the pep talks before the game that's telling these guys, come on, suck it up, guys. Right. We can do this. And then when it comes to, all right, we're back.
And we're back.
And hopefully you got most of my rant, so Josh is in the middle of his rant.
So yeah, Ken, so I'm just saying, so like I said, I don't like it.
What about the fans?
I do believe it's a very unfortunate trend, but they're starting to talk about now there might be ways, and I don't know how you would do this, but ways to incentivize guys so they'll want to play. How they figure that out, I'm not sure. But I do agree, that trend that started a few years ago, it's a bummer, because now, especially in handicapping the bowl games too, for what I do, it's crazy. You know, you get the line when it comes out.
Don't even know.
Have Bryce Love of Stanford. Same thing in the McCaffrey baby. He's been hurt all year. Stanford sat half their guys in the Sun Bowl. Yeah. And so, you know, so if it's an injury concern, it's one thing. But when the guy's been perfectly healthy and won't play his final game, I put it this way. I say I do think they should be in there. I also don't know what else you could do. You could also say, well, they satisfied it to the point where they gave the university, you know, what they were supposed to for whatever it was, 3 or 4 years, and now
it's not,
you know, they're
just about the university.
Now they're allowed
it's
to
about
be selfish.
The, it's about the guys. If you're the general, it's about your soldiers.
It's
that went
all
to,
about the guys. It, the
exactly,
it's
John.
All about
it's
it.
All about the warriors that you're the general. It's all about your soldiers that you went to war with, and you expected them to make sure you don't get hurt. You make sure I don't get hurt. I'm this team.
And
you know
what?
I'm done.
Yeah, most of the teams, by the way, with the guy who sat out. Now, of course, it's by and large because that guy sat out, like Grier. But most of them played like garbage, meaning they were uninspired.
Listen, like you
figured the guy next in line at West Virginia could probably play a little. They were a no-show.
Yeah.
Well, I actually won money on the game because I had heard something that he was thinking about it. Well, listen, that doesn't hit the media unless he's going to do it.
Once you're thinking.
So I ended up with Syracuse plus +7.
Right. I think the whole point is, if I'm a general manager, a question you ask is, does this guy love football? You're going to sit out what bowl game was it? Was it the Pinstripe Bowl, whatever,
yes.
West Virginia was
in? With Syracuse.
I understand that.
But
you can't.
It's not about the bowl.
And it's not – it's more so as a quarterback. A lineman will never do this, just so you know. As a lineman, the lineman mentality, you're as unselfish as you can be as it is.
Yeah.
You're protecting everybody else.
Appreciate you bleeding for me for 4 years,
yeah,
but you know
exactly.
What now?
Trophy winner stud left tackle do this
how many of those guys want to take him out behind the woodshed?
Oh, my God.
A lot of them. But what do you think about Nick Bosa, the Ohio State kid? He got banged up in like the third game.
The injuries,
and said, you know what,
I understand.
No, but he wasn't. He came back. He was healthy. But he just said he sat out the whole second half of the season. Just say no.
I respect that a lot more.
I got
more
injured
than,
once. I'm just going to bail. Ed Oliver did the same thing. So defensive guys do it, too. They're doing it just as much.
That makes way more sense to me. then if you don't have a if you don't have that, that fear, you don't have that injury history to sit out a bowl game that you fought to get to. That I don't buy that. I don't understand that.
You got
I understood the McCaffrey thing. That made sense to me at the time. Yeah. I remember.
I didn't realize it was going to start this.
Yeah, exactly. He probably didn't
ball,
either.
This domino trend that's happened.
You know, Christian McCaffrey wants to play in the Rose Bowl. It's not something he didn't want to do. Mm-hmm. It's just yeah. You got to love the game of football if you're going to play football at a high level. You have to love it, and you would think you would want to be out there at every chance you get.
You want to reward your offensive lineman for making you be that draft pick.
If you ever see an offensive lineman do this, I'll give you $1 million. It'll never. It will never happen.
Wow.
Offensive lineman has a different mentality.
All right. So I'm glad. I think we're all on the same page. At least me and John are. You know, Josh has maybe a little bit of a devil's advocate opinion, but you know, I think that
I told you though. For what it's worth, I'm not a huge sympathizer with the players in terms of. I think it's awful. You know, selfish. I said I want to see these teams at full strength. I say I also at the same time. You know, with the coaches doing the same thing, all I'm saying is I don't think it's a great idea, but you can't really begrudge it.
If that game means something to just one of your teammates to play.
You know, makes you appreciate Kyler Murray a little bit better, doesn't it? This guy has – what if he decides this last game goes, you know what, I don't want to have some career-ending injury. Even though we got a $4.5 million, almost $5 million signing bonus, he goes, yeah, I don't want to jeopardize something's going to happen I'm never going to recover from. He still went out and bled for his teammates.
I always think of Peyton Manning coming back for his senior year.
Yeah.
Because he thought that the team had unfinished business.
What about the Clemson guy that came back? He could have went last year, the big defensive guy.
Yes, yeah.
God, well, like all four of them.
Yeah, exactly.
Wilkins
in particular is who we're talking about.
But anyways.
And you saw his emotion after that game.
Yeah.
What that meant. I don't.
Think about all the respect and all the camaraderie he's created and lifelong friends that he's created for doing that. Whether they won the game or not, what he did. Think about the quarterback for West Virginia. Who's he going
to
call in 10 years?
To be clear,
they're going to be together 20 years from now, this team.
And they're going to kick his butt.
And they're going to be like, oh, here comes this hot shot. Great.
There you go.
Yeah. The one distinction is that Clemson was playing for a championship. I don't
think for
Will
sure.
Greer wasn't sitting out if they were in the playoff, is my point.
Absolutely.
So that's,
absolutely
the Clemson
not.
Guys are playing.
But it's – I don't know. That I don't get that at all.
All right.
Especially as a quarterback.
It's a hot topic for me.
But
it
you
really
will
is.
Never see an offensive lineman do this.
All right, Wolfpack plays Fresno State tomorrow. Wolfpack went 1-1 last week. Went on the road to New Mexico. Had a probably their worst showing in the Musselman era. Things just didn't go their way. It didn't hurt
nearly as bad as the San Diego State game last year.
No, that's true.
Not even close.
I kind of look at the Wolfpack New Mexico game like the Alabama Clemson game. Things just every bouncing ball went against Alabama, went against the Pack, and New Mexico. They shot lights out. I mean, they were pulling up full court NBA threes, nothing but net, missing those shots, but the ball bounced. You know, we got three guys around the basket. You know, you get the long board, you get the put back. But anyways, Pack had a tough game. Pack, you know, there's only two undefeated teams right now. So you can't just – and the Pit is a tough place to play, John. I mean, so take
– 14, just the opening line of – or the closing line of 14, it didn't make any sense to me. I had New Mexico. I didn't think we'd lose, but 14 points at the Pit.
Yeah.
I understand. And then, of course, they lose with the Rebels the next time up.
Yeah.
And it's just you're going to get everybody's best shot. Watch Fresno tomorrow. Fresno's going to give everything they have.
Well, let's just
look. And that's a good team.
Look at the rebound. The Rebels went in and beat New Mexico the following game.
For what it's worth, we talked it last week. I mean, New Mexico, it's not like they're – the Pitt's tough to play, but this is one of their worst teams in recent – they'd already lost on that court four times before UNLV. They've lost to North Texas, Penn, and Colorado. I mean, they'd lost to some pretty marginal teams on that home court before Nevada comes in there. The thing that I think is most unfortunate, like you mentioned, the streak is going to end at some point, though, and probably in this fashion to a fired-up home conference team that had everything going for them. It's worth noting New Mexico had some injuries to get healthy. They actually have the one kid, Carlton, what's his name, from the transfer from Kansas, who's a big thing, a big difference maker for them on the front line, and he sort of neutralized the rebounding advantage. So New Mexico was sort of primed to play their best game. They're just getting healthy in conference. And they started conference play with a good win at Air Force. So you can kind of see that coming. But with you, Ken, it's by far, I think, the worst we've seen in the Musselman era. One thing he often said last year, despite a few losses here and there, said he was always proud of, hey, if someone outplays us or whatever, it happens. But what, you know, we pride ourselves on just never having a night where we just don't show up. That was a no-show. Because like you said, I mean, everything was going against him. But even the second half, I mean, you figure, okay, a few buckets, you cut it to single digits, you'll be back in the game, maybe take it to the wire. But, I mean, yeah, every single player, I mean, was out of sorts. No one, not only could they not shoot it, but it seemed like they were turning it over every time down. Before you know it, yeah, before you realize it, late in the, you know, halfway through the second half, you're like, yeah, there's no miracle comeback this time. This one's just over.
It was. What New Mexico did that other teams haven't done is they kept stacking, they kept adding.
Yeah.
They were hitting those threes. They consistently kept hitting them. And. Yep. And Wolfpack was not shooting well.
Pack played to the end, though. They played to the end.
They did, and it's – I was shocked by how the fashion they lost. I wasn't shocked they lost.
But there's no reason.
We said it on the show last week.
Don't pack.
They're laying 14 in a game that I think they can lose.
Yes. With that being said, John.
Sure enough, they did.
And, you know, don't panic, Wolfpack fans. They bounced back. They obviously blitzed New Mexico – or, excuse me, San Jose State in the second half. You know, the Pack jumped out early in that game, and then things kind of got close, you know, before halftime, and they came out, had a 60-point second half to win the game by 40. Now they go on the road to play a very, very, very good Fresno State team. Pack's laying
–
That hates us. Pack's laying 3.5 on the road. Fresno this year is 12-3.
Just beat Utah State on the road.
Just beat Utah State on the road. They're 10-4 versus the spread. This is going to be a tough game, guys. I mean, I know the total is in the low 140s. We're going to see another huge effort. You know, the Packs, you know, they only dropped from number 6 to number 10. So, going on the road, top 10 team coming in, tough place to win. I mean, Fresno's a good team.
I love the Wolfpack here.
I was just talking to one of our listeners, and he said, I love the Wolfpack, and he made a good point. The listener that I was texting just said, this is going to be the smallest total in the regular season that you get to pack all year.
What's total?
Or, excuse me, side.
Oh, side. Yeah, excuse me. 3.5?
3.5.
Yeah, I love it. I think they're primed right now. Their eyes are wide open. They understand Fresno State's a good team.
Fresno State hits the three. They shoot 38.3% for the field, and they want to shoot a lot of threes, but they're a small team. So
yeah.
We're going to have a decided height advantage, John, but they do out-rebound their opponents 2.1 boards a game.
And I hope Coach Musselman sticks with Jordan Brown in the starting lineup for
that
reason.
Boy. Yeah. He can pass. I love his ability to pass over the top.
Yeah, he's a good passer. He's a good rebounder.
Let's
really raw offensively, but.
So. John, hold that thought. Josh, hold that thought. We have to go to commercial break. Come back. We'll finish up with the Wolfpack. We got to jump into NFL. Four football games. We got a handicap. So I went on my little tirade about these seniors leaving early. So with that being said, we'll be back after these messages on ESPN 94.5 FM. We're back at the Windmill Sportsbook just outside the Club County. The Windmill Sportsbook inside the Club County. SportsReno.com. That's where you get the. That's where you can get our podcast. I keep forgetting to and I'm going to need to put that on our Facebook page. Our Facebook's page is Kenny B, or excuse me, ESPN Sports Handicapping. That's ESPN Sports Handicapping on Facebook. SportsReno is where the podcasts are. And Josh Nagel, you can get your stuff. I make sure I get this in at sportsline.com.
Yep. I appreciate it, Ken. We got everything up there for. You know, college hoops, NFL, whatever. Anyone who listens to the show knows it's where to go to get my stuff at sportsline.com. Twitter as well, Josh Nagel 1.
All right. Later. Nevada Wolfpack, 15-1, travels to Fresno State tomorrow, 12-3. Wolfpack laying 3.5 on the road. It looks like the total, what I've seen unofficially, is about in the low 140s, 140, 140, or 142, 143 in that area. So, Josh, I know I interrupted you real quick before we went to commercial break, so I'll let you guys chew this over, and I'm going to get you guys' thoughts on this.
Oh, sure, Ken. I was just going to say, you know, the whole idea, not only do I agree that Nevada's offered at a super cheap price tomorrow, and I'll be backing them as well, but I heard some of the stuff, you know, the other night in the game against San Jose State where they said Coach Musselman was – you know, he hung up the score of that game on the scoreboard and made them watch it. Of course, he's going to use this as motivation because not only was it a loss, it was a pretty humiliating defeat. And I'm of the belief where this might be a thing where you just blindly take Nevada for about the next six games until they don't cover, because I think they're going to start covering with a vengeance.
I agree, and especially if it's someone like Fresno State that is a threat, that there's a history. What's going on? Jimmy Butler's getting dragged out. Down the floor here, sorry. There's a history. There's a nice little rivalry between Nevada and Fresno State. I know that they have a different coach now that doesn't quite have the disdain for us that the previous one had. But
you're right. For a few years back, they were the thorn for us.
They really were. And it's another tough place to play down there, and at the Save Mart Center. But 3.5, I think it's very, very cheap here. I think the Wolfpack wins this game easily.
I agree. And not to mention, of course, there's end game situations.
How often do you ever hear me say that?
With the free throws and all that. But that's one of those things. To me, I feel like the price is similar to what it was against the Loyola of Chicago, which is, even though we were laying like 6 in that one.
Yeah.
But it's not that standard thing where you feel like, the home team in college basketball, you see them just getting three or four-point dog wins all the time. And so that's essentially between equally matched conference teams where one's just a little better. But you see conference teams all the time where, like, top first or second place team loses to a middle-of-the-road team. And to me, I agree, this isn't the case where people are getting the wrong idea where, like I said, the spread suggests there's not much of a gap between these two teams, and there is.
Yeah, there totally is. And you know, with that being said, with the new ranking system that the NCAA has, the I forget what it's called, but Fresno's 32, we're 26, I believe it is. So
I didn't see that.
Yeah, it's the new version of
Kim Palm and this and that and RPI.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
BPI.
The Wolfpack was 10 before the New Mexico game, dropped all the way to 27.
Wow.
And went up one notch. But Fresno's there at 32, and I believe Boise State was in the 30s as well. So this is a quality opponent. But like I said before, I think the Wolfpack's eyes are wide open now, and they're not going to fall into that pit any longer. They're going to get they know they're going to get everyone's best game every night, especially on the road. But I like the Wolfpack here. I think 3.5 is really light.
You got to take the number 10 team in the nation if they're laying the least amount of points that they're going to lay all year.
Yeah.
Listen, we were worried about going to Chicago. We won easy. We were worried about
– that's kind of what I think this game's going to be.
We were worried about Utah. We won easy. We were worried at USC. We won. We were worried against ASU at a neutral or on the road. We win easy.
If the Wolfpack plays a B-minus game, they win by 7.
Yeah, I agree. And that's I think, if Fresno plays an A game, John.
Caleb Martin puts two halves together, and I give him a lot of respect for doing what he did by taking himself out of the lineup,
I agree.
Saying, you know what, I'm killing us right now. And then he came out, and this is what great players do. He still couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat
early
that first half, but he kept going.
Boy,
and
the second
caught
half,
fire.
What was he, 6-6 for 6 in the second half? I mean,
he caught fire. Yeah. And that's what great players do, and he's a great player. Don't ever get that mixed up. Martin and Cody Martin.
Three losses that Fresno's had this year. They lost to Texas Christian 77-69. That was earlier in the year, back on November 15th. They lost to Miami 78-76. That was on the 23rd of Miami. Then they rattled off a bunch of wins. But they did just lose to Utah Valley 64-60. So with that being said, like you guys said, we're going to get their number one shot. It's coming tomorrow, so let's go Pack. I'm going to be all on the Pack. I think it's too many points. I really do, and I'm going to.
You think it's not enough points?
Excuse me, I don't think it's enough points.
I'm never. If you listen to this show often, I rarely even pick the Wolfpack. Especially on the road, especially laying points in any sport. But I just think this is different. I think if they show up to play, and they're going to, it's a no brainer to me.
Well, if we're truly a number 10 team in the nation, guys, we have to show up for this game.
That's the thing.
We have a tough two-game stretch. We go to Boise State after this.
Yeah.
It's a great – if we can win these next two road games, everybody will forget about the next.
That's what's funny when the Mountain West isn't the ACC, but if any team in America does a Fresno State-Boise State stretch, that's not easy.
No.
I'm not saying that they're going to Duke and Carolina, but it's not easy to go and play. If you go to New Mexico – and then to Fresno.
If anybody would have told us at this point in the year, John and Josh, we're going to be 15-1 with the five game and with the road games we've played, we'd say, sign me up.
And you know what? There was a time not too long ago, John, where over like a 5-year stretch, I think it was the start of the decade or whatever, where Boise State actually had the best home record in the country or close to it. It was crazy how well. So we know they were only a couple years removed from being an NCAA tournament quality team. Same with Wyoming, like say Fresno State, San Diego State. So it's a conference that has some pretty good depth and pretty good recent histories of success right there. So
Utah State, I mean, it's – yeah, it's not what it was a few years ago when they had five teams in the NCAA tournament, but –
I'm going to back the Pack tomorrow, guys. I had real quick, after watching the I was at the San Jose State game. I go to all the home games. We all do. But with that being said, I unloaded my William Hill account at halftime on the Pack. every penny that I had in it, minus the everything to
13
the
and a half.
Yeah, and I just pushed all in, and they started out slow. Then it was 5, 10, 15, yeah. 20, 25,
21 to
30.
21 to 2 runs.
They scored,
like that,
yeah, they scored 60 points in the second half, ended up winning by 40.
The consistency that Jordan Caroline shows night in and night out.
Hey, listen, what about Corey Henson, John?
Yeah,
Corey Henson
played great. Jordan Brown played great. It was,
I agree.
Cody is Cody. Yep. Every night, Cody's going to give you that night. And sometimes he'll score 30.
Yep.
But it's – I was excited to see Caleb come out of what he was doing there. He looked like he figured it out. He looked like he was – that first half, he had that air ball, and I was just like, what's going on?
He missed
right
two free throws.
Yeah.
I mean, they weren't even – one of them wasn't even close.
Yeah, so –
I'm like going, what in the world's up with this kid?
If Caleb Martin is mentally
– dialed in.
Right. We're not going to lose another game the rest of this regular season.
I agree with that, too.
I promise you that.
We have to get into the NFL slate, so let's do that real quick. Pack Lane, 3.5 on the road tomorrow versus Fresno. Total's going to be about 143 when it opens. Those will come out pretty soon. Indianapolis, Kansas City. Number one offense in the NFL going against the number seven defense in the NFL, or offense in the NFL. Looks like right now we have the Chiefs at -5.5 at home with a total of 57. The one thing I do like in this game is I think – Indianapolis has been playing awfully good football lately. Indianapolis, let me get my numbers here. I'm out of order. Sorry, listeners, I am out of order. 11-6 on the year, 2-4.
They were 1-5.
They were 1-5, and now they're 11-6. That's where I was headed with this, John. But you're exactly right. And their offense is clicking. You know, they were 1-5, and Andrew Luck, he was rusty. Like I said last week, he was rusty calling plays in the huddle. You know, he hadn't thrown a football for a year, so his body wasn't used to taking football contact, football practice. Andrew Luck is back right now, and we're talking about the
great player.
Indianapolis playing arguably maybe one of the worst defenses in the NFL. I think Indianapolis is going to be able to get their points here.
Yeah.
I like the over in this game. It's the highest total on the board at 57, but this could be a cigar game on the total.
Indianapolis can win the game.
I don't disagree with that either.
Especially this time of year, I look at the underdogs. I come from the underdog. I look at them first. I bet more underdogs than I do favorites by far, and I got to look to see do I think this team can win the game? I do, just because of what you said. That defense, what do the Colts want to do? They want to run the ball. What can the Chiefs not stop? That exact
right
thing. So if they do that effectively and control that clock, let Andrew Luck make his plays, this is spelling trouble for Kansas City. And this team looked unbeatable, as they always do in September, October.
Well, let's talk about the experience of the quarterback position, too, John. Mahomes versus Luck, a rookie quarterback.
That's going to be my next point.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. That's fine. I believe in Patrick Mahomes. I don't think this is too big for him. I don't buy into that at all. I just think Andrew Luck is a next level. He's what Patrick Mahomes, despite what he's done in this fabulous first season, that's what he should aspire to be, is Andrew Luck, and be the leader that Andrew Luck is. I think the Colts have a real shot to win this game. I'm not saying they will, but I'm taking the Colts with the points here.
Yeah, and Andrew Luck led the Colts to the AFC title game in his second full season as quarterback. They realized Mahomes is in his second season, but first as starter.
Yeah.
And we'll see. I think that's a thing worth noting, too, is that can he perform with the pressures on? You would think, yeah, but who knows? The playoffs is a whole different environment where it's one and done, and you never know how – what if he handles some real adversity and throws a pick six early? How does he respond from that? But just given the depth of experience there and how the Colts are coming on, with those many key points in your favor, you're 3.5, 4, you go – I mean, this open at 6 in some places. I just think, yeah, it's too many points to pass up on for sure.
Yeah. And I lean towards the over with the total as well. Chiefs are going to get theirs. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And if Kareem Hunt was still around and still available, I would think that they would be coming out of the AFC. I just don't feel that way right now.
Yeah, and their performance has pretty clearly dropped off. Like I said, without him – it's the same thing. How would the Cowboys be without Ezekiel Elliott?
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same thing. He's that versatile. He led the league in rushing again. I mean, and the way he caught it out of the backfield, I mean, that is just a huge loss. It's not as if they don't have other – because it's clear, you know, with Kelce, all the downfield, it's not as if they lack threats, but they do lack a running game now, and it's a pretty big deficiency.
You know, talking about Indy, like I said, the number 7th-ranked offense in the NFL, and John, going back to your point, too, Kansas City is the second-worst defense in the NFL, one of only two teams giving up over 400 yards a game to their opponents, and they give up 132 on the ground.
That's the whole deal.
Ever since Mac came back, he's been a beast. absolute return of the beast. Bat. I mean, and he ran, you know, look what he did last week, John. I mean, he, against a defense where he was, you know, supposed to have, you know, tough sledding, he played well last week. I think Kansas, or excuse me, I think Indy's going to be able to run the ball.
I think for sure they will. And that's the one thing. I do lead it towards the over, but if they control that clock a little too much, he might be in trouble there.
I know. I can't disagree with what you're saying. You know, Matt goes into Indianapolis last week on the road. What did he run for? Oh, 24 carries for 148 against a Houston team. You know, a Houston team that's ranked in the top. They're number 12, and they're only giving up 82 yards a game on average to opposing running backs, and he went for 142. And you know that, you know, like we all say, guys, if you can run the ball, it opens up the whole offense. I got about 20 seconds, Josh. You got a parting shot on this game?
No, I was just starting to check out the huge prop menu, so I figured we'd get into that pretty soon.
Okay, so if we don't have time to get the prop numbers, we'll get them up on our Facebook page. But I like the over in this game. I know Jesse James just said that it's going to be weather in this game, but I still think that's tied. I think that's tied into the total at 57.
That helps the Colts.
So that helps the Colts too. I don't disagree with that. You know, so the Colts. I just see the Colts in snow game. I don't know. Colts. I think the Colts can win this game. Let's head off for the next commercial break. We're back after these messages. ESPN 94.5 FM. Sweating the Maryland, Indiana, the end of the game. 24.2 seconds left, 7-point game, 76-70. Josh has Indiana plus 6.
It's also official play I gave out on Sports Lines.
With the ball.
Added pressure.
With the ball.
Yeah, put it this way. An Indiana bucket, yeah, 3 by Langford, a 3 would be
anything.
Very helpful.
Well, anything. Any bang you're almost guaranteed.
Exactly.
You're almost
3 would be absolutely huge.
I'm going to see what Jesse James has. Let's see what Jonathan hits. He goes, it's surprised it hasn't moved. He's talking about how much snow was in this Kansas City Indy game, 4 to 6 inches. But, you know, the wise guys know that. Weather's built into this number. And, Josh, you made the comment when I read the Facebook post, is that I haven't seen the wise guys and seen this number go from 57 to 53 or 54 or even 55. So I still think that both teams are going to be able to get theirs. So with that being said, I still like the game over. I'm going to play it over unless something drastic happens. So, John, parting shots on Indianapolis and the Kansas City Chiefs.
I don't think the weather matters.
And Ken, what would you consider drastic?
Well, I wanted to drop to 54. Then I'll bet it. Then I'll come back on Nick's half point card and then bet it under. That's the edge I'm looking for. Nick used 57.5 on the card. So when this card first came out, Nick knew the weather conditions. They forecast all this stuff as literally a half point move. So with that being said, that's kind of where I'm at. Second game tomorrow, Rams -7 versus the Dallas Cowboys. Rams 7, 49.5. Nick used 7.5. 49.5, a little bit of money coming in. It looks like the rain.
How's the weather in Los Angeles?
It's smoggy.
Fair enough.
Bada bing, bada boom. 11 seconds left. Josh, the good news here is I think if they don't make a basket. Oh, you got a foul. There you go. That's not good.
That is good.
He makes one, they go down and foul, he makes two.
Yeah. That's I'm just saying I need something that presents scoring for Indiana. Because, Maryland could also throw it deep and then run the clock out.
All right, let's see what we got here. Dallas, the number 22 ranked offense in the NFL. The Rams, the number 2 ranked offense. I think that number 2 selection, John, is inflated for the Rams on a lot what they did the first three quarters of the year. They haven't been right on offense for a long time. You know, Dallas been playing good defense all year, number 7. Everybody knows Dallas wants to run the ball. Dallas is averaging 122 yards a game on the ground. You know how many yards a game the Rams are giving up?
A lot.
122.
Exactly, 122. So anyways, John, can Dallas stick around in this game?
Yeah, they can stick around. They'll stick around for a while, I believe. Dak Prescott's playing pretty well. He's playing as well as I've seen him play. He's a good decision maker at times, I guess you could say. But I think this is where we're going to see who the Rams really are. They've taken about a month and a half off, it seems, just kind of going through the motions. Todd Gurley's back 100% healthy, it seems, and I think that's going to be the difference. And, you know, two teams that want to run the ball. Now, Jared Goff's not been playing great. He's had 6 interceptions, 6 touchdowns in the last 4 games. And one of those was the Niners had he had 4 touchdowns against the Niners in kind of a throwaway game, so it's
a big game for Jared Goff.
They absolutely can. I think 7 might be a little too much. This seems like a field goal game to me. But I don't see the Cowboys going into Los Angeles and actually winning the game.
You know, Josh, looking at the total here at 49.5, anytime I can bet a Dallas game under, the way they want to run the ball and play defense. I love it. 49.5. If this number reaches the total, the Rams blow them out.
I was going to say, you're in trouble anyway if you want to
exactly. Take
the underdog. No, I totally agree, because right, Dallas prefers that, you know, kind of more deliberate tempo of a game. And, you know, the Rams are a little scary here, because we all know what happened last year. They were all the rage, and they lost to the Falcons pretty badly. And down the stretch, they showed cracks. We know they lost their big games against the Saints, the Bears, and even the desperate Eagles went in there as a 2-touchdown dog and beat them. And so it makes you wonder. Against the upper echelon competition, later in the process, they weren't so great. And they still wonder. Jared Goff's still a young guy, but so is Dak Prescott. And so to me, it's just, I figure, you know, if you put the pressure on the Rams again, is it one of those things that comes up and they don't answer the call? But having said that, I felt like the Cowboys, they obviously broke through with a great performance last week. Can they do it again? You know, it's a tough call. I mean, I think I like Dallas to cover, but the Rams to win.
Yeah, that's where I stand, too. But I can't envision the Cowboys actually winning that ball game, though.
The biggest bet I made this week was a two-team six-point teaser. The Rams, I got them down to just to win. And I'm a Cowboys fan. You know, I think Dallas, I'm really impressed with what Dallas has done this year. I think they're going to be able to run the ball. If I had to make a wager on anything without teasing it or moving the number, I'd really be looking to maybe bet this game under 49.5.
James Harden has 24 points, 9 assists, and 8 rebounds in the first half.
In the first half?
Good Lord, he's playing well.
Well, he travels every time he has the ball.
Yeah, there's a lot to that.
There's a lot to that. That's exactly right.
But it's really impressive what he's doing. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
No, with that being said, I think the total's a little bit too high. You know, and I like the dog a little bit. I moved the Rams down into just a win situation. If I blow my money, Dallas gets to move on, and I might be looking to make an even larger wager next week. So right now, Dallas playing pretty good, number 2 ranked offense by the Rams going against the number 7th ranked defense. Dallas 122 on the ground versus a defense that gives up 122. So I'm okay with Dallas here. I'm okay with betting this game under.
You think they'll get exactly 122 this game?
I think Dallas is going to get 140 on the ground.
140?
Yeah, right. That's what I think. So that being said, oh, did he hit it, Josh?
There you go.
And it's a three-pointer.
Yeah, with 1 second left.
Oh, please, Josh, you can't win.
Just let him inbound it. Yeah. Yeah.
You're good.
Yeah, but you were going to be nice. Good anyways. He makes two. It comes 5.
You can foul. And
no, it was 6 before that.
If they foul him, Josh, and he makes 2, it comes 5.
Oh yeah, gotcha.
But you win no matter what.
Oh, sorry, but my sports line number was 5, so I needed it.
Have you not seen anybody anticipate the foul and go into the act of shooting and then get that three-point shot? That's happened.
With 1 second from three-point court?
Hey, did you see what happened the other night? This was crazy. I actually had Baylor against Iowa State. Iowa State had just upset Kansas. I figured they'd be in a down spot. Baylor's catching 2.5, 3 points at home. And it was a back-and-forth game. Baylor, physical, half-court, whatever, lower scoring than Iowa State likes because they're in the 80s. But the final play of the game, John, it's one of those things. So Baylor is up 3 with Iowa State coming the length of the court. They got 5 seconds left to go the full length of the court. Their point guard's dribbling down. It looks like he just wants to pull up inside half-court and let it fly, right? Well, Baylor was coached to, I bet they were told the kid to foul once the guy crossed half-court. So literally they're trying to foul as the guy legitimately picks up the ball and puts up a 3. It was a clear, he clobbered him, and the refs didn't call it. So it goes off the backboard. But as we talked about, but UCLA last night with Oregon, that's why call me old school, but I think fouling when you're up 3 kind of invites disaster, and you see it happen a lot.
All right. Rams Cowboys. Where are you guys shoving your money in on here, and how confident are you?
I'm not that confident. I think the Rams could win a game handily here, but I think the Cowboys do keep it close, and it's a 28-24 type of game is kind of what I'm leaning towards.
So you like it over?
I do like it over a little bit. I don't love anything in this game. I just don't think the Cowboys can actually win the game. So it's hard to put a lot of money on a team that you don't think can actually win the game.
Plays right in my teaser philosophy, my two-team teaser.
Yeah. No, it does. It's a perfect spot for a teaser here.
Josh, parting shots on Cowboys, Rams. Rams laying 7 at home. 7, it shades a little bit, minus 120.
Yeah.
Dallas is even money at the plus 7. 49.5 with the Rams being minus 330 on the money line and Dallas being plus 270.
Yeah, I'm always worried, Ken, like I said, when they charge you, especially when they charge you extra to lay a huge number. That's one of those odd things. Of course, nobody ever wants to move off the 7, but whenever there's juice tied to a certain number, it gets your attention a little bit. But more so with your school of thought, where I think when it comes right down to it, given the pace that the Cowboys want to play and the defense the Rams at times can play, I kind of like the under a bit.
All right, let's get started on this Patriots-Chargers game. Patriots laying 4 to the San Diego Chargers. A lot of people think the Chargers might be the second best team in the NFL right now. It just, you know, you look at the team, I guess you can kind of make an argument that
I think they're the best team in the AFC.
Could you? Yeah, exactly. I was going to say they could be the best team in the AFC, you know. Yeah, and I look at this game, you know, there's got to be a changing of the guard eventually. And New England, they kind of sleptwalked through the whole year. Nobody really challenged them in their division. But this San Diego team, number 11 on offense, number 9 on defense. I mean, that's pretty impressive. And they're another team that wants to run the ball. They're averaging 117 yards a game on the ground. New England can't stop anybody, 112 yards a game. I honestly think, and I know some of my friends are Patriots fans, but I think this could be the changing of the guard, guys. I really think San Diego is going to go in here and win this game.
Los Angeles.
Excuse me. I keep saying San Diego. I'm just going to say Chargers. I just can't get it out of my mind yet. I really think the Chargers are going to go in and win this game. I really do.
I like the style that the Chargers play with, which starts with Anthony Lynn and especially Phillip Rivers. That they're not scared. I'll tell you that right now. They think they can win. They're going in there. It doesn't matter. Yeah, I understand 7-0 Brady versus Rivers and all that stuff from a decade ago. Great. Chargers are not scared. Chargers are a better team 1-52 than the Patriots are. I can say that without any trepidation. It's still Tom Brady, still Bill Belichick at Foxborough. That's tough sledding. But this line, it kind of is dictating. The Chargers have a big time shot here, and I think they're going to win the game. I really do.
I do have a two-team parlay, too.
That defense is nasty.
I do have a two-team money line parlay, too, going to the Chargers and the Colts, just so you know. I do.
That defense is really athletic, and they stick, and they can get after Tom Brady, which is what you have. If you don't get after Brady, you're done. They can get after Brady, not just Bosa. They can do that. And
Melvin Gordon's back healthy?
I think they will do it. They can control the ball. Love Phillip Rivers. Anyone's listening to this? This radio show, you probably think I'm a Chargers fan the way that I gush over these guys all the time. I love the Chargers. I've loved them for a couple of years. I think this is their time. I don't know about the whole changing of the guard philosophy, but I just think they're going to go out and the better team is going to win a football game on Sunday.
Josh, Chargers 13-4, traveling New England, 11-5 team. You know, like we said, Patriots, a reputation line, I think, right here laying 4.
For sure. And, Ken, there's something to be said, though. Again, on the flip side, the Patriots, whenever – of course, they're always highly motivated by that when, you know, the sentiment's against them. And, like I said, changing the guard, hey, it has to happen someday, and it could happen now. But when they're sort of the afterthought and the other team's getting all the attention, that's when New England tends to show up. But there's also no disputing what you said, John, the actual talent. There's no doubt. And for all the years, it's kind of funny that the Chargers sort of struggled, wherever they got high draft picks. You realize they compiled – it's not like they've been whiffing on the draft. I mean, you start looking at out there, Derwin James, Joey Bosa, it's like their defense is just loaded with these guys. Really, Melvin Gordon, who didn't look like he was going to, you know, the running back of Wisconsin, like, oh, maybe he'll be all right. Now he's turning into a star. Keenan Allen, I mean, suddenly you just look at all their key guys in every position. And like, how did that happen? Well, it's about 3 or 4 years worth of extremely high draft picks of all great players.
Let me add your thought there, Josh, talking about key guy. Hunter Henry's back.
Right. Oh, that's right. Great tight end. And then it's kind of funny, though, because you realize, the Rivers led Charger. He's never beaten Tom Brady straight up. You would think, okay, maybe that has to change at some point. But, also, the Chargers haven't lost outside of California this year. Their one road loss was at the Rams. They won every other road game, so it also shows
They haven't lost a game. I was listening to a show today. They haven't lost a game this year where they've taken a plane. They've lost 4 games. They took a bus when they played the Rams. At home they were 4-3. On the road, the Chargers were 8-1.
Right.
They travel well. That's where I'm headed. That's right. Where we're headed with it. They travel well.
The New England Patriots are the pinnacle of football. That's the highest level. Is there anything to be said for the pressure is squarely on the Patriots right here?
Absolutely.
It's house money with the Chargers right
Absolutely.
now.
And for what it's worth, New England hasn't lost a home playoff game in 6 years.
Yeah.
The last time it was 2013 title game against the Ravens.
Yeah. And respectfully, how many fights did Mike Tyson lose before Buster Douglas took him out?
Well, I'm just saying for what it's worth.
That's
exactly. I know what you mean, Ken.
Chargers,
exactly.
Right, Chewy? Chargers.
Chewy.
And before they lost that last one, the Patriots probably won a boatload of home
Listen,
playoff games. Right, it has to happen once in a while.
As a Steeler fan, I've been waiting for this changing of the guard for a good 20 years.
So, I like that being said.
If Peyton Manning couldn't do it, Ben Roethlisberger couldn't do it. Maybe Phillip Rivers can.
We have to head off to our last commercial break. When we come back, we'll finish up with this game and talk about the late game on Sunday, the Eagles and the Saints. So, William Hill Sports Show inside the Club Count Evil on ESPN 94.5 FM. All right, welcome back. We're finishing up with the Patriots Chargers. Patriots at home, laying 4, totals 47. 190 on the money line for the Patriots, minus 190. Plus
another weather game, if that's what you're concerned about. It's forecasted for a lot of snow in this one, too.
So let's just hypothetically say, from the handicapping standpoint and perspective, to win weather games, what should you be able to do? Run the ball and play defense. Which team's better at both of those?
The Los Angeles Superchargers.
Sure, Josh?
My Los Angeles Supercharger.
You are correct.
So with that being said, Josh, give me what you like and your level of confidence using poker hands.
Yeah, it's tough. Yeah, Ken, I would say, actually, and this could be a thing where, you know, old habits die hard. Like I said, to me, as much as everything on the field points toward the Chargers, I do believe it's that, you know, Patriots response spot. And also, you know, they've been down some of the horrible losses they've had all year, losing to the Lions and whoever else. And the Patriots haven't looked good at times. Whenever the sentiment on them is down, they come out firing. So despite all the, I said, logical arguments for the Chargers, I think I would take the Patriots. But to get my poker equivalent, can I say, like, pocket deuces. I limp in.
Oh,
I limp in and see a flop with the Patriots. I don't want much else with
that.
I'm just being honest.
I'm a straight flush draw going to 4th Street on the Chargers right now. There's a lot of – I have a lot of opportunities here.
I'm saying you would push all in with that, though.
Push all in.
If you have Queen Jack of Hearts and the 9 and 10 of Hearts hits the board, you need to find a way to get all in with that.
Yeah. I can get one of the – I can get the straight, I can get the flush, I can get the straight flush.
And if you hit either one, the hand's good.
The hand's good.
But do you have overcards, meaning your opponent has a lower pair?
My opponent has eights.
And you have a – how high is your straight flush?
It goes to Jack.
So 9, 10, so you can't be that, or whoever flopped a set.
Yeah. No. But I just put it this way, though. Even if your opponent shows you top two, you should
the hand. The opponent flopped
a set. We said the flop is 2, 9, 10 with two hearts, 9 and 10 of hearts, and you've got queen, jack of hearts. Yeah. You want to shove all right. It all in. Your opponent shows you middle or top set.
I'm telling you right
you
now.
I listen. Go ahead, John. Finish.
Chargers can win the game.
I listen to a lot of handicapping talk shows and podcasts, and I'm yet to find – I think I've heard one guy say they like the Patriots. That's the only thing that scares me.
That's the thing.
It's unbelievable.
It really is.
If we had Mark Vespi here, you'd get the whole full on.
Every sharp guy in the world.
He made his bet. He ain't here.
Every sharp guy in the world is lining up on the Chargers. Every sharp guy in the world. Every sharp guy. So I like the under a little bit too. I really do. I think this could be a lower scoring game. 21-17, something
tough
like that.
Number 48. Yeah. Or 47.
No, I like it under.
I just like the if you can handicap moxie. Mm-hmm. I like the moxie of Phillip Rivers and the Chargers. They are not scared to play this game.
John, I totally agree. I absolutely agree.
They know they're the better team.
I absolutely agree.
That being said, it's Tom Brady. Yep. It's Bill Belichick. It's the Patriots.
At home, week off, divisional game. I mean, division championship.
But this team, you haven't looked at the Patriots one time this year and said, oh, there they are.
Yeah.
I haven't done that one time.
First couple of weeks. I mean, they played well, you know, against the Texans. The first couple of weeks of the season, they had a couple of
weeks. The Texans game, I mean, they beat the Chiefs.
And they finished up pretty well. I mean, of course, it was against the Jets. But, I mean, just they got in that mode where they were playing well again.
All right.
The fact that the Steelers actually beat them tells you all you need to know about them.
Yeah, no doubt about
10
that.
Points.
All right, let's head off to the last game on Sunday, 1:45 kickoff, Saints versus Eagles. Saints are laying 8. They're at home, total of 51.5. This is the other game that I tied my 6-point teaser to. I told you I had a 2-teamer. I teased the Rams to win, and I teased the Saints to win also. Interesting story I heard listening to VSiN. I like to listen to VSiN, a lot of sharp guys, Brent Musburger and those guys. Pinnacle Sports, Offshore Sports, and I use Pinnacle Sports a lot because they get out stuff, and I like to see they give it's an offshore sports book, but you can I kind of watch where the lines move. I can't bet with them, but I like to see where the line moves. Pinnacle stopped taking; they're not taking 6-point teasers.
They won't take teaser legs. Yep, I know exactly what you're talking
and
about,
and I've never heard that before. So you have right now like the Rams at -7. If you take a 6-point teaser with the Rams, they give you 3. That's it. They'll only go to 3.
Yeah, you know, I heard the exact same thing, not with that specific book, but also because, you know, with what I do, we do these articles and everything. And the guy at, you know, the Mirage, Jeff Stoneback, they're all saying the same thing, where, you know, they take 6-point teasers, it's real popular in the NFL at all times, but particularly in the playoffs when everyone's expecting a close outcome. They want some extra help on their sides. Six-point teasers are all the rage this time of year. And he said that's the biggest thing, too. It's crazy. Everything that's been turned in, he's like, man, that Saints minus two is the biggest liability of the week. He's like, you wouldn't believe it. He said it doesn't even matter what it's tied to, any side in any other game. If the Saints cover that two, we're in trouble. Shows you how much the widespread belief is that the Saints are probably going to at least win in a close game.
Saints laying eight home, John, total 51.5. New Orleans has been just probably the best team in football, I think, for most of the year. 13-3. They're seven and one away, 6-2 at home. So they lost one extra game. Philadelphia 4-4 on the road this year. You know, and now here we are. We have the Nick Foles story again, John.
It's the man right there.
I guess. I mean, what? So
I always like teams that have grinded to be there, which the Saints have not. I mean, of course, yeah, they played well all year. They deserve to be where they are. I like the teams that have fought and scratched and clawed to get to where they're at. And if I can get over a touchdown with the defending champions who have gotten there in a fashion like this, everybody believes again, I'll probably tease the Saints down, but I might do a teaser on – I might do the old –
Man, this
Scooby-Doo on this with the Eagles and the Saints.
You know, John, this just smells like a Saints blowout to me.
I really think so.
Think of all the emotion last week
in
the field goal. And I mean,
that kind of favors the Eagles. They believe again.
That's pretty much the whole thing, too, with Nick Foles. John, the thing was, I agree, but I'm so torn because of that dynamic, and Ken knows that just for Sportsline I had to do. I actually put the Saints out as a play there. But it's not one I like because you can't get out of your mind that when the Eagles played them a few weeks ago, just got boat raced. But so many things were different. It's the worst Carson Wentz has ever played.
Yeah.
That's what I remember. That's why I told you, I'm like, man, there's something wrong with the guy. He was laying down to the phantom pass rush. He was just taking a knee when there was no one approaching. And that guy's a physical.
Yeah.
He had three interceptions and like 12. He went like 12 of 30-something.
Nick Foles, baby.
He was just awful. And not to mention, though, they were going to lose anyway because their secondary is so bad. They couldn't get a singular offensive stop. The Saints just tore them up. And here's the thing. The Eagles secondary has gotten a little better, but it's still the same guys. I mean, Trubisky threw for 305 yards on them last week. So they're still a bad secondary. You're going against Drew Brees instead of Trubisky. All the deficiencies are there. And so while I do think, you know, this new version of the Eagles is probably going to fight a little harder, overall, it's a mismatch.
I think the Eagles get blitzed. I really do. You know, we talked about.
I could definitely see it happening.
They played on November 18th, John and Josh. The game you were referring to. The final score in that game was 48-7. You know, and I look just at a couple of things. Let's look at total yards for the Eagles that game: 196. Total yards for New Orleans that game: 546. So it wasn't like they benefited from a fumble or had some pick sixes or some blindside sack fumbles. 546 total yards of offense for the right. Saints. There's nothing to make me think that that's going to change. Josh, like you said, what did Trubisky throw for last week?
305.
Drew Brees, they're going to be able to run the ball with Kamara and with Ingram. They rushed in that game for 173 yards a game last time they played the Eagles.
This might change your mind. Ray Roberts just said the Saints will crush them. So
that's all right.
Take with that what you would. I'm going to do the Scooby-Doo parlay.
You're trying to be hot shot guy right now.
I'm going to hot shot it, and I'm going to take the Saints or the Eagles plus 15, Saints minus one. It's going to fall in there.
Listen, I love a good story, but
I'm doing it.
Everybody's talking about the Eagles. Give me the Saints. Eight at home?
I get it. And there's a lot of me that thinks that maybe the Eagles have stretched that rubber band, like we say.
Yes.
They might be at the end of that.
Yes,
this is also the defending world champions.
How did the Saints do last year in the playoffs?
Do you remember what happened? Yeah, they didn't do.
But you remember how they lost?
I do.
Oh boy, are you gonna get a motivated monster tomorrow?
There's no doubt.
Or Sunday, 13-3 Saints.
I love Sean Payton.
This game isn't even gonna be close.
You might be right, but
this game is not Josh. I mean, they remember the Stephon Diggs, the guy undercuts
the Minnesota Miracle.
What's that guy doing?
Is he even playing football anymore?
Yeah, he was.
That's crazy. He otherwise had a great rookie season.
He did. Yeah.
Wow. This is one of my better plays of the week. It's the Saints minus eight. Like you said, maybe the Eagles have stretched the proverbial rubber band a little bit too big.
But maybe they haven't.
They can only win if the Saints don't show up. That's the only way
they're the world champions. What are you talking about?
500 and what did I say? How much did I say? 500 and how many? 46. 546. let's not forget.
That's when we were younger.
All right. So, Josh, who do you got in this game? And confidence level.
I told you, like I said, Saints and moderate because I don't.
I have Saints pocket kings.
Yeah, you know what? Say I would say pocket sevens. Just say, you know,
it's above
average starting hand. No, I'm accurate about assessing the situation because you're not.
I'll call it
kings and aces when I feel that way, Ken. But this is one. So it's right. Better than the last one. Hey, pocket sevens. It's a decent hand.
All right, Josh, give me your aces hand from side or total from these four games. Do you have aces hand?
No, not a pocket aces hand on any of those.
Kings? Josh, you gave out the Saints on Sportsline, and you're telling me they're pocket eights? Josh, listeners,
that's
listen.
It's a good hand. Pocket eights is above
average. Oh, really?
Average.
You want to stick all your
Greg
money in with pocket
eights?
Greg
Raymer won the World Series of Poker Championship holding pocket eights.
Yeah, and Doyle Brunson won him with 10 deuce twice.
Yeah.
The fossil man.
Different circumstances.
We're gonna post our picks. Don't forget, we have all the prop sheets, which we're gonna scroll through those and post some prop bets for these four games, which you can download on your William Hill mobile app at www.williamhill.us. John, Josh, real quick, best bet of the – give me one game for the listeners. We'll post the rest on Facebook. Four games. Best bet.
Colts.
I'll go under Cowboys Rams.
And I'm gonna go with the Chargers. I'm giving Chargers.
Go Chargers.
Saints, two-teamer on Sunday. Make sure you do all your sports wagering at William Hill. Download the William Hill mobile app at
Wolfpack Boat Races Fresno.
www.williamhill.us. John, I agree with that. It's probably the smallest number you can get laying with the Wolfpack this entire regular season. Only laying 3.5 tomorrow at Fresno, 143. Maybe be looking for like a little Brian Hennessy packing over tomorrow. 10 seconds, John. You got anything?
Nope.
Josh, got anything? See you next week on ESPN 94.5 FM.